The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bill's Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley, and once again it's time to switch your radio to the world of imagination. 50 years ago, on the 22nd of May, headlines the world over read, Lindbergh does it, to Paris in 33 and a half hours. Flies 1,000 miles through snow and sleet. Cheering French carry him off field. 50 years ago, Slim Lindbergh, as flyers called him, was the first. No one had ever flown the Atlantic nonstop before. In a moment, we'll have a look and listen to the hours and years before that historic flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Our adventure, They Called Him Slim, was written especially for the General Mills Adventure Theater by G. Frederick Lewis and stars Russell Horton. I'll return in a moment with Act One. At 7:40 in the morning, New York time, May 20th, 1927, Charles Slim Lindbergh started the engine of his single-motor Ryan monoplane, the Spirit of St. Louis. At 7:52, he took off, heading east for Paris with 425 gallons of fuel. It had been raining. The runway was soggy, the plane heavy. Nevertheless, Slim knew the odds and was confident he had embarked upon a historic flight. He proved one man alone could do it. Let's look at the record and see where this flight actually began and when.
You're going to try it?
Well, of course I am, Dudley. I told you it could be done.
That's an awfully steep hill, Slim.
Are you going to stand there jawing? Are you going to walk me and my motorcycle all the way to the top and see?
Well, you better turn it off. You know, the president of the college is close by, and if he hears you...
Okay.
Now, let's take the Excelsior up there. You know, there's no reason to get kicked out of college in your second year.
Dudley, my boy, I've got this all worked out.
This hill is steep. At least 45 degrees.
32.
Now, at the bottom is a dead end and a cross street and a high fence. And you're going to come barreling down that hill and make a right angle turn in your motorcycle without using your brakes?
We've been talking about this for weeks. The only way to prove it can be done is to do it.
Okay. Now, this is the top. Now, you can either stay up here, friend, and wring your hands like an old lady, or you can go down there and learn something.
Well, I'll be at the bottom of the hill to pick up pieces. You wave your hand when you're ready to start. Okay, Slim. I'm ready.
Ready or not, here I come.
Hey, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine.
Boy. You might have gotten killed, Slim.
I should have gunned the motor even more on the turn. I would have made it then.
Well, here goes. Come on, old girl. You can do it. Do just as I say.
Why, you're not going to try that again.
Well, why not? I know I can.
You're nuts. You're positively crazy.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we'll see about that.
I did. I told you I would.
Well, you'd keep going like this, and who knows? You might end up a stunt cycle driver in a circus.
What would you say if I told you at the end of the semester I'm going to Lincoln, Nebraska to learn how to fly?
Well, I'd say you were even wackier than I thought.
Mom? Hmm? I've gotten out all the ornaments. Let's decorate the tree. You're very quiet this evening.
I guess.
At Christmas, I'd expect you to,
Expect what?
Oh. You've been talking to Dudley.
Yes. He did stop over.
Oh, I wish I could have told you myself.
Well,
first.
I wish you had too, Charles.
My marks haven't been that great, Mom.
Well, is that a reason to quit college?
Mom, I was counting up, and I've been to 11 schools because I'm moving and all that, and I didn't like any of them.
Well, nobody always likes what he has to do, Charles. Your father and your grandfather, they never ran away in the middle.
Mom, don't you understand? I'm not running away. So I graduate next year. Then what? A job in an office? Mom, my life has to mean something.
Do you know what you're going to do, Charles, if you don't go back to the university?
I'm going into aviation.
Fly airplanes. Is that it?
Yeah. Learn how they're put together. Learn navigation, meteorology. There's lots to it.
All right, then, if that's what you want.
You won't be sorry, Mom.
It isn't me, Charles. It's you. I hope you won't be sorry. I'd better write to your father and tell him what you've decided.
Yeah. I'll write to him, too.
Slim, I don't know what to do with you. You've learned about all I can teach you so far.
Well, all I've had is 8 hours of instruction. You say I'm ready to solo, okay? Well, why can't I?
Well, let me explain. 3 weeks ago, you plunked down $500 to Ray Page, and you say, I'm answering your advertisement, teach me aviation. I take you up mornings or evenings, right?
Biff, I know what you're going to say.
No, no, you don't. You think you know. You deserve to solo, but all you've done is watch planes put together in the plant. You know about aeronautical theory, plane design, all of that. They make planes here. The school and teaching you are on your sidelines.
So maybe I'm not very bright.
Oh, you're very bright, Slim. Too bright. In all my years as flight instructor with the United States Signal Corps, I never taught such a skinny guy so much, which he learned so well in so little time. No question you're ready to solo.
So what's the hitch?
Well, when I told Ray you were ready, he said, okay, Biff, but what if the kid cracks up? He's riding a lot of expensive Lincoln Standard aeroplanes.
But I won't.
Yeah, just the same, he wants you to put up a bond to cover the plane just in case.
Look, I haven't got money lying around for that. It's not fair. I put down my $500 to fly. Now he says no solo. If I don't solo, no certificate.
Well, that's about the size of it.
Biff, what can I do about it?
Now, Earl Ball is leaving Lincoln to do some barnstorming, and I asked him, how about taking Slim here as a mechanic and general helper? And he said, sure, why not?
Oh, if I could kiss you. How could I ever thank you?
Easy, easy. When you're up there, you do the same for some other kid who wants to get started.
I don't know, Slim. A little wing-walking experience with Errol Ball ain't enough to qualify you to jump with me.
Mr. Hardin, there always has to be a first time. Besides, you've already agreed.
Well, okay. Here goes. What's the joke, Slim?
I'm remembering a friend of mine. Dudley, I went to college with. We built this ice boat using a motorcycle engine to turn the propeller. Made a good time on Lake Mendota. I was motorcycle happy then. Oh, what would Dudley have said now? Me about to double jump? You wouldn't believe it.
Well, Kay and I didn't make those chutes. I wouldn't let you pull the ripcord.
What's the altitude now, Mr. Hardin?
No, 1,500. Now, you remember how to do it?
Yep. Two chutes packed in the bag, laced up like my shoes, bag lashed to the wing.
Check.
Yeah, at 2,000, walk out on the wing, chute straps hooked to my harness. I let myself down.
Below the wing.
I was going to say that. Untie the bow knot, fall. When I'm clear, cut the rope, tying the second chute to the first. First chute collapses, and then I free fall until the second one opens. I hope.
You hope nothing. Now, I told you, Kay and I made those chutes. That's what I'm demonstrating here and selling. Safe chutes, not dead jumpers.
Yeah, only kidding.
Okay, on your feet.
It reads 2,000.
He's falling without a parachute. He's going to get killed.
Look, another parachute open.
Are you okay, Slim?
Well, I made it, didn't I?
What happened? How come that second chute took so long to open?
Well, is something wrong? I thought that's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, let me see that rig. Oh, no. Of course, that's what happened.
Well, come to think of it, Mr. Harden, I was going down head first a couple of hundred feet, and that second chute kept following me down. I began to have some doubts, you know?
Some doubts? Oh, gosh, that was all my fault.
What is?
Well, you see this? I use some grocery store string to tie the chutes together. So instead of the second one stringing out of the bag and being ready to open when the first chute collapsed, well, it didn't happen. Well, the darn string must have snapped, so the second chute came out all folded up. Oh, whew.
Oh, Mr. Harden, I'm glad I didn't know it. I wanted to give the crowd down there their money's worth, but no more than that.
Dear Dad, I'm writing to tell you that I've decided to come home for the winter. There's not much doing in my line when there's snow on the ground. I've been barnstorming with Mr. Harden in Kansas and Colorado and Montana, as I wrote you last time, doing a little wing walking and parachute jumping. I'm enclosing a snapshot I took of some mean-looking buffalo in a field in Wyoming. That's our plane in the back. We had a little motor trouble, so we thought this would be a good place to fix it. Those bulls really wanted to be friends, but I ran back to the plane just in time, and we took off. Your loving son, Charles.
Dear son, received your letter about your line of work and the friendly buffalo. Will you be home for Christmas? Your father.
Dear Mom, here I am in Americus, Georgia, remembering our great Christmas and my 21st birthday. Did you know Dad put in a good word for me at the bank, and I am now owner of a war surplus Jenny with a new Curtis OX5 motor? $500. A bargain. I'm heading north selling people rides on the way. Don't worry. There's not a safer way to travel. Your loving son, Charles.
Oh, no. My first crack-up.
Mr. Lindbergh, now you've been here in Maben, Mississippi for two whole weeks since you got that new propeller, and you've taken up lots of folks.
Well, I know that, and I'd like to stay longer, but my dad's waiting for me in Minneapolis. I promised to take him up, so no more flights.
Well, I got my $5 right here. Now, I didn't have it before, but the neighbors, they chipped in because they know I always wanted to do flip-flops in the sky. And I told him Mr. Lindbergh is going to take me up, and you look up in the sky, and I'll wave my red bandana. You've got to take me up.
Well, you're a very persuasive gentleman. I guess since I've taken up about 60 of you, I can make it 61.
How are you up there?
Got my bandana ready. Now, when are you going to do your stunt?
As soon as we reach 3,000 feet.
Oh, I look down there, and boy, Maben never looked so small.
You will hold tight, pal. Here goes a spiral and then a dive. Like that? You up there, can you hear me?
You wait till I pull myself together. I'm going to wave my red bandana at the folks down there now. Hey, what you going to do next?
Try for a loop.
A loop to loop? All right.
Come on, old girl. Your nose is up. Keep going.
Up.
I must be doing something wrong. The loop didn't happen the way Biff taught me it would.
You okay up there? You had your money's worth?
Mr. Birdman, that's about as close to leaving this ice as I ever hoped to be.
You're safer up here than plowing in your field.
Yeah. Hey, how much you all charge to take me up to heaven and leave me there, Mr. Birdman?
In those days, a flyer was known as a Birdman. It set him apart. Slim Lindbergh, at 21, had already joined that gifted and peculiar flock of goggle-eyed flyers and wingwalkers. As a barnstormer, he was one of the gypsy flyers, But whatever the name, the experiences shared by these masters of the air were unlike any known to us, the Earthbound. In his very own plane, Slim's adventures had only just begun. I'll be back in a moment with more and Act Two.
On a lovely...
The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. They called him Slim. His eyes, far-seeing blue, his hair blonde, and his height, well, let's say taller than most folks. He was flying north from Georgia to Minnesota, his first cross-country hop, getting to know his plane better, becoming more and more one with the instruments, the fuselage, the air around him. But as fate had it, Slim arrived in Minneapolis by bus, his father meeting him at the terminal, newspaper in hand.
Hello, son.
Oh, Dad. Gee, you look great.
Oh, I've been reading about you. You want a hand with that bag?
No, sling it on my shoulders. What's that newspaper say?
Charles A. Lindbergh, son of ex-Congressman Lindbergh, crashed near Savage, Minnesota this morning. He was flying his plane 300 feet above the ground when it suddenly went into a nosedive and landed on its propeller in a swamp. Lindbergh says he'll be flying again in 2 days.
She's okay, Dad. I wired Little Falls for a propeller.
Yeah. Charles, you want to do some of the campaign trail with me? I'll be running for Congress again.
Oh, I'd like nothing better.
I'm glad you're here, aside from the fact I don't see enough of you.
Well, I was here Christmas for my 21st birthday.
Yeah, well, maybe you can figure something out for me. Let's start for home.
Well, what do you want me to figure out, Dad?
I've got all this campaign literature I want to get to Redwood Falls before I make a speech there. But I'm running this campaign on a shoestring. I can't hire anyone to drive over ahead of me and hand it out.
Well, how about I fly over and drop all the leaflets from the sky?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, but Charles, even if your plane's fixed, you have to fly pretty low to make sure it didn't land in the woods.
Dad, you're talking to a man who's got hundreds of hours in the air.
Oh, I know. But quite a few unexpectedly on the ground.
You give me your handbills or whatever, and I'll guarantee it'll rain your name over Redwood Falls.
Well, Dad, how do you like it?
Not bad. Not bad. I don't see your mother doing this, though.
Don't bet on it. I'll have you both trying for a license yet.
Well, who knows? Maybe it'll help me get elected.
You're right. These farmer laborers, they don't like the old ways. They'll say you're modern, with the times. Speed, right?
Son, when you talk like that, I sure wish you'd gone into politics or law. Golly, father and son in the same law.
Dad, behind a desk is just not for me. It just isn't. Now, let's see, we left Buffalo Lake, gave a rip-roaring speech there, and here we are. That must be Glencoe down there, according to the map. What time are you speaking?
2:00. We're here with time to spare. Give me time with the reporters.
Someday there'll be commercial flights on a schedule, like trains.
Charles, what do you do when there's no airfield?
Oh, like now? Well, you set her down easy in a pasture and hope the cows don't care and the bulls aren't looking. Which is exactly what I aim to do. What time do you make it, Dad?
5:00 on the nose. You haven't said anything about my speech in Glencoe.
Didn't I? Oh, it was great. You told them exactly what they ought to hear. You got your safety belt fastened?
Well, of course. And my goggles. You're talking to the father of an ace flyer.
3 hops in one day ought to qualify you for something.
Next stop, Litchfield, for campaign speech number 3. Dad. Dad. Are you all right?
Get me out of here.
Your safety belt is jammed. Dad, don't move. I'll get the strap buckles off. Now, I'm grabbing you from under your arms, Dad. Just let yourself go. That's it. Now, careful. I'm letting you down on the grass.
There's blood all over my glasses. Where are they?
Yeah, now hold still. Let me wind this scarf around your head. It'll stop that bleeding.
Where are my glasses?
I'm afraid they're broken. I just can't tell you. I'm so sorry.
I should think you would be.
There was no reason for this to happen.
Well, there's reason enough for me. I've got a speech to make in Litchfield tonight. My body feels like I've been in a prize fight.
Well, there's a fire wagon coming down the road. I'll have them take you back to town. I wonder how...
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Hang around this junk pile?
Dad, look at this. Somebody's cut through my drag wire. That's what it was.
What do you mean, somebody?
Somebody doesn't like me or somebody doesn't like you, that this wire has been cut.
Oh, you sure?
Must have happened at Buffalo Lake. Sabotage.
Another great speech, Dad. I don't see how you can't beat old Johnson. How do you feel now?
Well, surprisingly good, considering I was in an airplane crash. I told what you told me to the editor of the Glencoe paper. He drove me over here to Richfield.
What did I tell you?
He's going to say C.A. Lindbergh Jr., who was piloting the plane, charges that the mechanism was tampered with at Buffalo Lake. It'll be in the paper in a week.
Guess when you're in politics, every little bit helps.
Charles, I wasn't fooling. I wish I could convince you to take up law and come in with me in the firm.
No, Dad. Somewhere in the back of everything, I just know I have to fly. I have to be part of this. Wherever it takes me. Dear Dad, I was sorry old Johnson won the election, but I suppose you can't always count on the farmer-laborer vote. I think I'm on to something you would approve of. I had the feeling you were afraid I'd go barnstorming through life, always a gypsy flyer, never coming to grips with what I should know. I've enrolled in the Army Air Training School, hoping to become a cadet at Brooks Field, San Antonio, and last week took the entrance exams. I think this way I can show you, and myself, a sense of responsibility towards aviation. After all, I'm going to be 22 years old in February. It's about time I began to return to others what they have given me. Your son, Charles. In 9 days, I'm graduating. And here I am, flying in a nine-ship SE-5 formation. 3, 3, and 3. Several hundred feet above clouds. We're doing a training attack on a DH-4B at about 5,000 feet. I'm flying pursuit on the left of the top unit. Lieutenant McAllister on the right unit. Captain Love up ahead leading. 9 more days to graduation. 9 more. Well, here goes. I'm closing down on the DH. Attacking from the left. McAllister from the right. Ah, Love is pulling up. I'm continuing to dive on the DH. Now I'm pulling up to the left and pass above the DH. Forward against the cowling. But my plane is turning around, locked with Lieutenant McAllister's. I close my throttle. Our ships are locked. Fuselage is parallel. I can see McAllister in his cockpit. He doesn't seem hurt. He's getting ready to jump. My right wing is damaged, folded back, covering the forward right-hand corner of the cockpit. Both ships are starting to mill around. Right wing is vibrating, banging my head. Unbuckle belt. I'm out. My feet on the right side of the cockpit. Now almost completely vertical to the ship. Well, here goes. A backward jump as far from the ship as possible. Got hold of the pull ring. No sensation of falling at all. Better not open the chute yet. Locked planes could easily fall on me floating down. Free fall. Keep going, keep going. 50, 100, 150, 200 into the clouds. Turn 1.5 revolution. I'm now falling flat and face downwards. Now I'll pull the ripcord. Now! There go the ships. About 100 yards away, still locked together. Spinning to the right. They hit the mesquite.
they're on fire. Okay, now I'll locate a place to land. I'm right over the mesquite now. All those thorns, not my favorite spot. Good. Drifting to a plowed field. Oh, hey. Made it. Doggone. Lost my goggles and my vest pocket camera and the ripcord. Oh, well. 9 more days to graduation. I hope.
Glad you got your wings, Slim. Not that I ever had any doubt.
I did a little, Red. A couple of times I thought I'd be washed out. Still, here I am, one of the happy 18. Feels good.
It seems a long time since we were 104 cadets entering, Brooks.
Yeah, and a heck of a lot of crossover turns and tight formations.
Hey, you even made the Caterpillars. Hey, McAllister, congratulations to you and Slim for making the Caterpillar Club.
Hey, I'm ashamed to ask anyone but you, Red. What does that mean?
What, the Caterpillar Club?
Yeah.
Okay, look. Parachutes are made of silk, and silk comes from caterpillars. All you guys have had your life saved
by the silkworm caterpillar. Hey, Red, you wouldn't know what time it is.
9:30.
Yeah, that late?
Late? What have you got to do that's better?
Oh, no, just something I've...
Hey, don't be so mysterious. Well, here goes. I'm supposed to introduce everybody. I might start with you, so start blushing. Fellas. A little quiet, please. To louse up our little get-together here, the graduating class of 18, the 18 who made it, here at San Antone's favorite greasy spoon, I was asked to make a speech.
Yeah, make it short, Red.
Yeah. Okay, very short. About two guys here tonight... And what they'll do to get the benzene board to wash them out.
Oh, yeah, right.
But the Army wanted them anyway. So an hour after their famous crash, they gave them 2 more SE-5s and said, please hang on to these, will you? Please! So, gentlemen, without any further ado, I give you the tallest of the two, the original Daddy Long Legs of the Army Air Service himself, Slim Lindbergh! Fellas, oh, gee, I'm sorry. It appears Slim isn't here. He must have left while I was talking.
Now, wasn't that extraordinary? Whatever it was, it must have been vital for Slim to get up and go like that. In the midst of celebrating this happiest moment of accomplishment among the only men whose life he truly shared, what made him go? Be sure to return with me to find out when I come back in a moment with Act 3. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Barbara?
The night of the graduating party, Slim caught a train for Little Falls, Minnesota. He'd made a promise a year earlier at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester where his father had been taken. Take me up again for the last time, his father had said, when my time comes.
Is that you, Charles?
Yes, Mom, I'm back.
Did you sleep well last night?
Sure did.
You're up early this morning. Heard you go out in the old car.
I had to, Mom. You know what I had to do. Ironical, in a way, bringing him back here.
Well, he wanted it. I want no monument, he said. Have my ashes spread on the wind over Lindholm.
His last trip in a plane. Well, I did what he asked me, Mom, but I didn't want to, because I don't want to remember Dad that way. Oh, got any coffee?
I was just going to have some myself.
I think Dad was the most misunderstood man who ever ran for public office. But there's something I think I inherited from him. The ability to be alone without feeling lonely. Did I ever show you this?
What?
You see what it says at the top? Self-improvement.
Uh-huh.
I got the idea from him. Dad didn't know I did, but I did.
On the side in a row, all those words from A, altruism... And the whole alphabet. Now, where it says character factors. What does that mean?
Well, I ran up this chart with a list of character factors I want to acquire. And at night, wherever I am, I read down the list of character factors, and those which I think I did pretty well in during the day, I mark with a red cross.
Oh, yes, I see you have.
Yeah. Now, you see those black marks, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the character factors I violated on that day. I wrote 61 of them. I hope you notice the red OKs are overtaking the black NGs.
Oh, don't be too hard on yourself, Charles.
Oh, I'm harder on me than you think. It's not that I want to be so all-fired goody-goody, no, but if I decide to do something, I'm going to do it better than anyone else in the world. And this chart is just preparation. I think Dad would have approved of it.
Slim Lindbergh.
Hey, Red Love. What are you doing in Lambert Field?
Well, I've fallen for Vera May, headliner of the aerial circus.
Ah, you have not. She's playing Centerville, Illinois.
And left me with a broken heart. Nah, I'm joking. Hey, but I saw those three sheets in St. Louis advertising her act. Featuring that flying fool, Charles A. Lindbergh, the U.S. Army lieutenant who saved his life by jumping from an aerial collision on March 6th, 1925 on Kelly Field, Texas. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Come on, sure, I barnstorm for a living, you know that.
See Lindbergh stop his motor 3,000 feet in the air, landing with engine dead. Oh, gee, it's great to see you. You know, I miss those old days at Brooks and Kelly.
Hey, come on down the field with me, Red. Do you know Ben Bell?
Oh, sure I do. He designed that new OXX64 passenger.
Yeah, the plywood special. Ben's asked me to test it this afternoon. I'll introduce you to him. But careful now. None of that collision crash Charlie stuff. Ben's put every last penny of his into this plane. He won't think it's too funny.
Well, of course. What do you take me for? Hey, I'll wait for you. We'll go somewhere and have a cup of coffee after. Oh, I forgot. You don't drink coffee.
Oh, I do now.
No kidding.
Yeah, once a month. And this is my day, Red. She hasn't done badly so far, responded well. Now for the tail spins. Come on, you. Right spin, right. Oh, doggone it. Try again. All right, so you won't do that. Oh, try a left spin. All right. Half turn. Atta girl. Once again. Come on, left little girl, left. Two turns. Come on out of it. Come on out of it. Gone. Throttle up. Oh, boy. Not working for it. Down to 2,000. 1,500. 1,000. I can't pull it out. 500. 4. 3. Now, pull that cord. Jump! I'm clear. Where is she? Oh, God in heaven, she's coming right for me. Ah! Step, shoot out of the way. Oh, holy God. I missed me by a foot. A foot. Oh, no. I'm heading for those high-tension wires. I've got to collapse part of the... Shoot! Falling too fast. Too fast! I don't... My... Oh, my shoulder! Ooh! Ah.
So I said to my old buddy Slim Lindbergh, I said, Slim, I'll wait for you and we'll go have a cup of coffee.
Oh, come on, Red, shut up.
Hey, what are you complaining about? Only a dislocated shoulder and a mouthful of bent teeth.
Bad luck. Poor Ben.
Yeah, well, how do you feel?
Rotten. I could have jumped it sooner, but I was trying everything in the book to keep her airborne. Did you see Ben afterwards?
I think he was crying after he found out you weren't killed.
Sank every dime he had into that ship. Rotten shame. This is probably the last test I make anyway.
You found an easier way to make a living?
Well, not easier, maybe, but steadier. I'm joining the Robertsons. They're hoping for a government contract to carry mail between St. Louis and Chicago. Hey, how about you, Red? Like to work for Uncle Samuel? You eat regular.
Why not? I've tried his army. I might get to like his post office.
You comfortable?
These mailbags make a wonderful seat cushion. I hope nobody's sending any airmail eggs.
I never looked inside those bags, even when I was forced down. But eggs, I doubt it.
Forced down?
Oh, sure. But the mail always gets through. I always go back, pick up the sacks, and get them delivered.
You sound like you're enjoying it, Charles. I'm glad to see you seem to be settling down. Now, you've been flying the mail for more than 9 months. Now, that's your longest in one job.
Well, the Army Air Service took longer. There's the tower. Time to stop splashing around up here.
Are you going in for a landing, Joe?
Oh, not yet. Got to make a wide circle.
Have you checked your fuel tank? Got enough gasoline left?
What are you talking about? Of course I do.
Well, we've been bucking ahead wind for about 100 miles.
Spoken like a careful flyer. Mom, you're wonderful.
Well, I catch on. Besides, I really like you.
Oh, really? Would you like to try for a license?
Well, I might. I just might. You wouldn't happen to know anyone where I could take some flying lessons?
Got the tank in place, Red?
As needed as she came out of the factory. Hey, how did that 85-gallon tank get in there?
Dumbest thing in the world. I always had 110-gallon. This mechanic at Lambert Field took it to repair a leak, replaced it with the 85, and told nobody.
Mm-hmm. Now, where do you suppose I heard tell flying the U.S. mail was an easy job? Nice and regular. Who do you suppose told me that?
The bugs will iron out. Give it time.
Each one of these de Havillands is a potential death trap. If you're lucky, you fly a Curtiss Oriole. Do you know the odds, Slim?
I always know the odds, Red.
Yeah, well, you cover your bets better than most of us. The boys were saying your chance of surviving this job is 1 in 4. Out of 40 airmail pilots, there are only 9 still alive.
Well, you gotta watch that load. Don't let it get too heavy.
Well, when you talk about odds, Slim, in your favor is the fact you're probably the coolest and best flyer in the game at 24. The rest of us may be good, but you're better. You could fly to the moon, buddy, if you had the flight capability. I'm convinced of it.
Red, can you keep a secret?
Well, try me.
The other night, I made a 5-minute stop at Springfield, and I was heading out for Peoria when it came to me. I thought that if I could control what went into a plane, every last inch of steel tubing, could really do a long one.
Well, where to, pal? I mean, you need a co-pilot, a navigator?
Did you hear about Rene Funk busting up that big Sikorsky trying to get to Paris?
A mess. 2 died at takeoff.
Yeah. She was way overloaded. But if the weight could be kept down, you know, every ounce, nothing but gasoline, a motor, and wings, it might be done.
New York to Paris? Across the Atlantic Ocean?
I decided I'm going to have a try. Raise the money, get the plane built, and make that flight.
If anybody can do it, Slim, it'll be you. I can see the headlines now. Lindbergh does it.
The newspapers are thick with on-the-spot news accounts of Slim Lindbergh's flying exploits. Much of our story, however, is based entirely upon what Lindbergh himself has been quoted as telling the press, and what others who knew him said in the press. His big New York to Paris solo, even bigger than his very first 5 years earlier, is yet to happen. Flying the Atlantic alone. A first. I'll be back in a moment with more about that. There are frontiers to be explored today, just as there were in the 20s when Slim Lindbergh took off. Can you see him in those years before that extraordinary solo flight? Between 21 and 25 years old, tall, sunburned, tousled blonde hair, dressed in a khaki shirt and army puttees and a olive drab breeches. Slung over his shoulder, an old duffel bag, the only luggage you could stow any place in any plane, ready to go anywhere to follow his star. Where are they now, those young adventurers, ready to work long hours, proud of their jobs? Today's Red, Charlie, Mac, Slim, you name him. Perhaps his name is yours.
They made a monkey out of me.
Our cast included Russell Horton, Ann Petoniak, Hans Conried, Lloyd Batista, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association. What do you think of when you...